This is Pastor Emory with broadcast number 4 on the Bible and drugs. In 1977, the New York Times wrote on drugs, quote, "Americans swallow nearly 40 billion doses of tablets, capsules, elixirs, and other medicinal potions each year. The average doctor writes nearly 8,000 prescriptions a year, choosing from among 1,200 prescription drugs with 2,500 different brand names. 7 prescriptions a year are filled for every man, woman, and child. On top of that, Americans dose themselves with various combinations of the 250,000 to 500,000 over-the-counter remedies that are part of the American penchant to solve every problem with a pill." And remember, as I read this, this is not about the so-called illegal or hard drugs. This is about prescription and over-the-counter drugs from pharmacies and hospitals. A little further on in the article, quote, "Each year, some 300,000 Americans suffer such severe adverse drug reactions that they have to be hospitalized, and 18,000 patients who are given drugs while in the hospital die from the side effects of their medication," end of quote, from a very, very long article in the New York Times several years ago. Add to that the mushrooming increase in hard drugs, and one can believe the doctor who said, "America is becoming a drugged nation." Is there an answer? Only in God's holy word. For not only does the Bible prophesy in Revelation 18 and other passages that the whole world would become drugged, but the Bible gives the promise of deliverance. The Greek word for drugs or druggery is in several passages in the book of Revelation. Unfortunately, it is translated into several English words, which in the 1600s at the time of the translation were associated with drugs, but which are not today. So the modern reader of the book of Revelation, unless this is pointed out to him, does not know this last book of the Holy Bible has as much to say about drugs as it has. If you have your Bible, we'll refer to some of those passages now, and you can mark your Bible, so in future studies perhaps you can point this out to your minister and ask him about it. One is in Revelation 9, that chapter about the bottomless pit and the locusts like unto horses prepared unto battle, with hair like women and tails like unto scorpions. These, of course, are symbolic descriptions of a great plague or war which would come upon the inhabitants of the earth. From verse 15 through 18, it indicates that these powers cause a third part of the men to be killed. Now, some think this is some future time of 7 years' tribulation under a so-called Antichrist. However, no specific time period is given, and I am inclined to believe it is already being fulfilled, and I'll show you why. In any case, it is a great plague and a great destruction upon men, and it does involve drugs, for we read this in the last verses as the whole story is summed up. Verse 20 and verse 21 of Revelation 9. "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood which neither can see nor hear nor walk." So we see this involves false religions and worship of idols or false gods. And then it goes on, "Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts." The word translated sorceries here is the Greek word pharmakon, which is another form of the Greek word pharmakia in Revelation 18:23, and it means in a literal sense a drug, a spell-giving potion. A better English word for today would be druggery. However, in the 1600s, when the King James Bible was translated, the English used the word sorcery to describe the effect of drugs. They did not have the 500,000 different drugs sold over store counters that we have today, and they had not been subjected to generations of propaganda that we have been subjected to about how this drug can cure this, and that drug can cure that, and another drug can alleviate this, and so on. In short, they had not been brainwashed into taking drugs as we have been. To them, drugs were simply chemicals used by evil people for evil purposes, for affecting the minds of individuals in order to place them under the control of the drug dispenser, so they called the drug dispenser a sorcerer. 350 years later here in America, our people are almost totally ignorant of this ancient use of drugs, this deliberate damaging of a person's mind in order to control his actions. Notice in that last verse, verse 21, the wicked are accused of four crimes: murder, sorceries or druggery, fornication, which is sexual deviation, and theft. Many authorities agree America is suffering from a tremendous increase in all four of these crimes, and the liberals and the left-wingers have all sorts of answers for them, all of which involve only the expenditure of vast sums of money with no alleviation of the crime. However, police authorities estimate that 75% to 90% of all of these crimes, that's of all crimes of whatever nature, whether it is murder, theft, rape, or other sex crimes, involves the use of drugs. In other words, druggery, called in the King James Bible sorcery, is the major cause of crime and the breakdown of what we call Christian civilization. In Revelation 9, by implication, druggery could be involved in the death of one-third of all men. And someone says, "Oh, Pastor Emery, that is ridiculous to imply that drugs will eventually kill one-third of all men." Well, it didn't say it would kill them all at one time. It didn't say it would kill them in conventional warfare. How about adding up a few facts, such as, number one, drugs are behind almost all violent crimes which end in the death of participants. Number two, drugs are admitted now to be a major cause of deaths in hospitals. Number three, drugs are admitted to cause deterioration of both mind and body, leading to an early and untimely death. In fact, one drug alone, the sodium fluoride put in many cities' water supplies, is now charged by some as being a major cause of cancer in those cities. Dean Burke, the former chairman of the American Cancer Society and his research on cancer, resigned that society several years ago in disgust when they would not publicize their findings that cancer increased by 30% in cities which fluoridated their water supplies. By this figure alone, anywhere from 10% to 15% of the population will die from cancer or from some other disease caused by the fluoride in drinking water. Plus, of course, that same fluoride is now in toothpaste, plus they are now using it as a mouth rinse for little children in the public schools. God alone knows how many of them will accidentally swallow some of that poison. Add to that the unknown millions who have been injured with pesticides in the air or in their food or water, or by chemicals dumped by corporations which pollute air, soil, and water. Add to that the acknowledged shortening of lives of the users of marijuana, heroin, cocaine, LSD, and other so-called illegal drugs, and how much more would you need before you can show that one-third of all deaths in the United States are already caused by drugs or druggery, or as Revelation 9 says, by sorcery. That passage in Revelation 9 doesn't say they will die violent deaths or that they will all die young and in war. The person who dies at 30 or 40 or even 50 years of age because of his body having been injured and weakened by chemical drugs and poisons, instead of having lived his normal span of 70 or 80 years, was killed by drugs, was he not? And he would fulfill the prophecy in Revelation 9. It is obvious God Almighty knew about the proliferation of drugs and chemicals which would come upon these foolish people as they turn away from His truth and turn to sorcerers or the druggers of His people. Here is a newspaper article from several years ago about boys and girls whose minds have been destroyed by drugs. Quote, "Each case is a tragedy. An 18-year-old girl turned into a living vegetable because of brain damage from drug abuse may spend her remaining Christmases in Arizona State Hospital. Or two women, 23 and 24, and two teenage boys, 18 and 19, committed to the state mental hospital because of drug abuse. Superior Court Judge Edwin Thurston knows the extent of the tragedies, for he committed all five of the young people to Arizona State Hospital in just one day last week. The 18-year-old girl is in the mental hospital because she took 20 amphetamine capsules over a weekend just to experiment with drugs. All five are from respectable, well-to-do homes," Judge Thurston said. Thurston, who conducts mental health hearings every Monday and Thursday at the hospital, is concerned because the 50-plus cases he has heard since July all involve young people with drug-damaged minds, end of quote. Did you notice what that judge said about those committed to the Arizona State Mental Hospital? Every one of the last 50 commitments, every one of them was a drug case. These were not victims of accidents which damaged their brains or who were born imbeciles. Every person entering the Arizona Hospital for the Insane during that period who had come before that judge was committed there as a result of taking drugs. No other reasons were given. In the same article, the judge tells of some of those he releases. Because they are not totally gone, but can perhaps hold some menial job under supervision, he turns them loose, even as he admits, quote, "In their present state of mind, they'll probably go right back to drugs. You just don't know if treatment has helped because you can't communicate with them," end of quote. And then near the end of the article, I read this. Some of the more severe young drug abuse victims, he said, sit looking like vegetables, or else just sit and constantly mumble incoherently. Others, he said, animate hopelessly in a fog of drowsiness. Sometimes the parents come and sometimes they don't, and I see them with tears rolling down their faces because they don't know what to do with their children or how to do it, and nobody has an answer for them, end of quote in the article. Is God's word coming to pass in America? I am afraid that it is. In Revelation 18, we also find the Greek word pharmakia, which means druggery, used in God's description of that strange entity called Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Revelation 17 and 18 describe a war against Christians, with the anti-Christians controlling all the governments and the trade of the world. And then when Mystery Babylon is destroyed, the people of the world will learn that this Antichrist power used drugs in that war against the Christians. Verse 23 of Revelation 18 says, "For by thy sorceries," and the Greek word is pharmakia, or "by thy drugs," were all nations deceived. In 1953 in Korea, an American officer involved in the negotiations with the Red Chinese near the end of the Korean War was told by a communist officer, quote, "We will conquer America in another generation." The American officer looked at him and replied, "How can you be so confident?" The communist answered, "We will destroy one generation of your young people with drugs. When they take over your nation, we will walk in and conquer them and you," end of quote. In 1968, 15 years after that red Chinese communist had made that statement, the head of the United States Drug Enforcement Agency testified before a congressional committee in Washington, D.C., that the major source of heroin and related drugs coming into America was Red China. During the Vietnam War, heroin, opium, marijuana, and other Asian drugs were readily available to all U.S. soldiers in South Vietnam, moved in there, and sold cheaply by communist agents. Some have estimated that over 50% of those soldiers, possibly as many as 2 million young American men, came back to America as drug addicts from Vietnam. Each one, of course, a potential drug pusher to infect others and to sell to them in order to support their own drug habit. God said in Revelation 18 that this scarlet woman was the source of pharmakia, of drugs, by which all nations were deceived. That scarlet woman, Mystery Babylon, is said in Revelation 17, verse 3, to, quote, sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. In other radio broadcasts, I have shown how that red beast and that woman dressed in red match perfectly what we know today as Red Bolshevism or Red Communism. Surely God Almighty's word of prophecy is true and marvelous altogether. His words are coming to pass before our eyes if we would but read them. However, all of Mystery Babylon's power, even her drugs, will come to an end. Her end is described in Revelation 18, then in Revelation 19, 20, and 21 is the setting up of Christ's kingdom upon the earth. In Revelation 21, we find this Greek word pharmakia again, where we read of the lake of fire and brimstone. Revelation 21, verse 7 and 8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and here the word is pharmakias, meaning the druggers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then follows the description of the bride of Christ in Revelation 22 of the perfected kingdom, wherein, verse 2, is the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. Obviously, the sorcery, or the druggery, described in Revelation 9 and in Revelation 18, is a curse on America and on Christendom. It is one of the curses which must be ended before Christ's people and the rest of mankind can come out from under the control of the wicked red Antichrist system which now rules all nations and which allows drugs and chemicals of all sorts over 500,000 different kinds to be distributed freely to our people. Our own government does little or nothing to prevent the pestilence of druggery. Here is a recent news article demonstrating how the U.S. government is retreating from its war against drugs instead of expanding it. This is from October 15th of 1981, Associated Press, Dateline, Washington. Admiral John Hayes, the commandant of the Coast Guard, said Wednesday that his services would have to halt its drive against drug smugglers if hit by the full 12% budget cut President Reagan is seeking for all agencies except the Defense Department. And then he goes on a little further to explain why, and the article says this a little further on. Of all the Coast Guard's missions, only search and rescue, navigational aids, and Arctic and Antarctic operations would be left intact, he said. Virtually eliminated would be the service's drive against drug smuggling, enforcement of marine environmental protection laws and fishing treaties, maintenance projects, and new construction, he said, end of quote. And then it gives a little more detail. Since the major route for drugs into southern and eastern United States is from Panama, Cuba, and South America, this reduction of the Coast Guard capabilities would give the drug runners carte blanche to bring their drugs in by ships to Florida and the eastern and southern coasts of America. With no surveillance on the high seas or in coastal waters by the Coast Guard, the land-based state police and local law enforcement authorities would totally lose the battle to stop drugs from coming into the eastern and southern United States, courtesy of actions by the federal government. Is it possible that the drug dispenser prophesied in the Holy Bible and named Mystery Babylon, Mother of Harlots, has enough power to prevent the enforcement of laws against drugs and drug smuggling in America? Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.